God's judgment and blessing is the way the world works. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's the foghorn voice of Steve Brown. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open, if you will, to the book of Judges as we continue with our survey of the Older Testament, an effort to make the Older Testament user-friendly. We spent a lot of time at the first part of the week introducing this book with some very dull but important material. And now we're looking at some of the major themes within the book of Judges. And if you have your Bible open, you might want to open it to the book of Judges, and we'll start looking at those themes. Throughout the book of Judges, and indeed the entire Older Testament, and we looked yesterday at Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20, there's a philosophy of history. In its simplest form, the philosophy is this: prosperity is caused by obedience, adversity is caused by disobedience. Now, does that mean that God watches and you do something bad, he's going to fix your wagon, blow it to smithereens, and you're in serious trouble? No, it just means that God has arranged and set up and made a revelation to us of his will in the world. And that's the best way to live. Even if you don't believe it, it's the best way to live. Even if you say, well, this is the corporate judgment of history, it isn't. It's from God. But even if you say that, then the best way to live is in obedience to what the Bible says God says to do, or you get into trouble. Sometimes, I suggested yesterday, we become so geared to heaven that we think it doesn't matter what we do on earth, but it really does. You see, God is God of both. And he so arranged the world that when we do it his way, it'll come out all right most of the time. When we don't do it his way, it won't come out all right most of the time. Now, heaven will ultimately balance every book, every way, in every place, and every time. But here we kind of muddle in the muddle because of the fall. But basically, God's way is the best way. Now, the philosophy of history given in the book of Judges is, by the way, cyclical. And it follows this pattern. First, there's a turning away from God. Secondly, an outpouring of the wrath of God. Thirdly, a period of repentance. Fourthly, a restoration through a judge. Fifth, a period of peace and prosperity. And then sixth, a turning away from God again. You know, that's what I do. I'm like that too, man. I read Judges and I see myself in the national story of God's people. Sometimes I turn away from God. Sometimes things go really bad, like the prodigal son who's eating the pig food in a far country. And you're hungry, and you're tired, and you're miserable, and your clothes are awful, and you think about home. So you go home. That's called repentance. And then they kill the fatted calf, and everything is wonderful and good. And then there's peace, and you feel close to God, and to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and everything's cool. And then you say, I'll never do that again. Man, I learned my lesson. I've got this thing down. I just stay right here. I'm not going anyplace. But then I do. And I think, what are you, crazy? And it starts all over again. But he's always there when we come home. He always says it'll be as if you never left. And he never stops loving us. Now, let me say just a couple more words about divine earthly retribution and the way the world works. You know the story about the man who had been a Christian for only a year, and he was attacked for his beliefs, and one of his agnostics said, you don't believe Jesus turned water in wine, do you? He said, I don't know about that, but in our house he turned wine into furniture and food and love. What is he saying? He's just saying, I decided to do it God's way, and I got a chair to sit on. I could spend forever. Let me read some good stuff to you. If you want to know what's happened in America, let me read to you from Washington's Daily Diary. I got this from my friend Peter Marshall in a book he co-authored called The Light and the Glory. Listen, this is George Washington, the father of now, If you're in Canada, you can benefit by this, but this isn't your history. But you've got a good history, too. But listen to George Washington. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so afflicted with the glory and majesty of thine honor that I may not do my own works, but wait on thee and discharge those weighty duties which thou requirest of me. O most gracious God, I acknowledge and confess my faults in the weak and imperfect performance of the duties of this day. I have called on thee for pardon and forgiveness of sins, but so coldly and carelessly that my prayers are become my sin and stand in need of pardon. I have heard thy holy word, but with such deadness of spirit that I have been an unprofitable and forgetful ear. But, O God, who art rich in mercy and plenteous in redemption, mark not, I beseech thee, what I have done amiss. Remember that I am but dust, and remit my transgressions, negligences, and ignorances, and so on, and cover them all with the absolute obedience of thy dear Son, that those sacrifices of sin, praise, and thanksgiving which I have offered may be accepted by thee, in and for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered on the cross for me. This is George Washington. Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ. I go on and on. Now you want to know why God has blessed America? You want to know why there has been prosperity by and large? You want to know why you're free? Now you know. Because of divine earthly retribution. Now God didn't say you Americans are especially beautiful and good-looking and brilliant. But he gave us leaders and gave us a heritage that was a godly heritage. And as we move away from that, and you Canadians listen to, as you move away from that and you do your own thing, bad stuff happens. Not because God is this wrathful God who destroys anybody who doesn't do what he says for them to do, but because that's the way the world works. That happens. That happens personally. Happens nationally. Happens in the church. Happens everywhere. Now again, you got to be careful when you go down this road too far. You know, the people who tell you on television and radio that if you send money, that's doing it God's way, then God will make you rich. I think they ought to send me the money and God can make them rich. you know, there's a seed in that of truth that is you're faithful financially, then God will bless you financially most of the time. But sometimes that's not true because we live in a fallen world. But what the book of Judges is articulating in terms of a philosophy of history is the idea that God created the world the way he created it and gave us some ways to live in it, and his ways are the best ways. You think about that. Amen. Well, I didn't get to the philosophy of leadership, but I'll get to that tomorrow. I'm going to turn to a couple of questions. Hey, listen, if you have a question, we'd love to get it, but you got to write it down. Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. Hey, by the way, check out our webpage. New good stuff going on at every day, www.keylife.org. And don't use the 1-800 number to ask questions. That's to order Key Life tapes or to get the booklet questions and answers free, or to make a contribution if you want to. But you got to write your questions out. We love your questions. You always get an answer from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. Is from Indiana. What are the 5 points of Calvinism to which you frequently refer? Every time we do radio rallies around the country, somebody always stands up and asks me, what are the 5 points of Calvinism? So I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to do it quickly. They are patterned after an acrostic, and the acrostic is TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. Calvinists love to say that those of you who are Wesleyan, Arminian, you have a flower too. It's called a daisy. And it says, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me. I'm sorry, never have any letters. It's a joke. But the tulip has to do with the Remonstrance. Jacob Arminius had written, or his followers had written the Remonstrance, and the Calvinists answered him, and there were five sections to it. So these are the 5 points of Calvinism. T means total depravity, but that's not good. It should be radical and pervasive depravity. It means people are really sinners, and they're not going to be able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. U is unconditional election. That means that God reaches out and calls his own to himself. L means limited atonement, but that's not good either. It should be called particular atonement. The blood of Christ is sufficient for the sins of the entire world, and it is efficient to believers. I is called irresistible grace. That's not a good name either, but that means that what God does, he does well. Does as he pleases, and he does it right well. And then the P stands for perseverance of the saints. That means, for you Baptists, eternal security. That what God starts, he begins, and the fact that he started it is the promise of his ending. And those are the 5 points of Calvinism. Oh, man. And there are others who disagree with some of those points, and I want you to know we're still family. I'm not doing this to defend those points, but simply to state them. This is from Florida. That was from Indiana. This is from Florida. Can Christians see movies? Yeah, unless you've got a disability. No, I know that's not what you meant. What you meant was, is it all right and moral and ethical for Christians to go to movies? Well, some of you think it's a sin, so you just watch them at home. Or, listen, if you're going to be honest and go the whole way, you got to burn the television too, man. You got to get rid of the video machine, and you can't go to any of them. And I would say that that's not an appropriate way to deal with it all. I would suggest that, yes, Christians go to movies, but you got to use your discernment. God has given you his spirit. He's given you his word. He's given your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to kind of hang together about what movies are proper for Christians to see and what movies aren't. And it's not just that Christians can go to Disney movies or Christian movies. I think there are a lot of incredibly profound movies that you wouldn't take your children to, but that really are almost prophetic in the things that they say. And they're good guides on a lot of Christian websites about movies to give you an idea about it. And we have to be careful. But I don't think God says no to that particular art form. But he does say it's time to go. Whenever you write a call, give us the call letters of this station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.